Welcome to another episode of Crossing the Finish Line. I am here today with Babette Pepai, the founder of Bakespace. Welcome, Babette.
Thank you. I'm super excited about meeting your community.
Well, I think they will be delighted once they kind of get a little bit better idea about what you've been up to. And I want to share the backstory about how I came to know about your company. I was reading through the Wall Street Journal, and I noticed this article, and I'll read it's a little short piece about it. And what they said was, with people sheltering at home, baking is undergoing a revival. In recent weeks, users have flocked to Bakespace, a social network and digital cookbook publisher founded in 2006, where people share and discuss recipes and pretty much nothing else. Everyone is cooking and baking, said founder Babette Pepai. Longtime user Kathy Weichert, a 61-year-old Hopkins, Minnesota resident, described Bakespace as a safe zone. And by contrast, she said Facebook is too divisive, with people interjecting politics into nearly every conversation. So being a foodie, being an entrepreneur, being someone that has always been curious about anything social media, what I loved about what they were sharing, and I use Facebook and a lot of people do, but what I got out of the article was the fact that it seems to be that, like what you've created now over 13 years, there are these places where people go and they build a community of people that have like interests. And when I had a chance about a week ago to find a little bit more about your backstory, I was intrigued about your whole story and what you've created. So I'm going to try to not talk as much. I'm going to have you do more of the talking. So with that being said, Babette, people are going to learn more about Bakespace through this conversation. But before you started it, what I was really curious about, if you could share, like, okay, you started this, but before this, like, what were you doing and what was the genesis for this even coming into being?
Well, the funny thing is that most people who start a community or who transition online, especially in like the 2004, 2006, 2007 time, everyone had something else they did because nobody was like, you know, now you'd find people who actually like go to school for internet technology and social media and content marketing. And it was like you just fell into it. I was directing and producing reality television. I started The Real World and Road Rules, season 5, season 6. And then I progressively, it's like the shows got more obscure, the pay got better. But I found that I was starting to get people to say things and do things that I wasn't really comfortable with. So, you know, getting two moms to, you know, have an argument and one mom to say they're the worst mother in the whole wide world. And it's like, you get to a point where you just go, like, is this really like how I want people to remember me? And is this really what I want to spend my days doing? And I took a cake decorating class and I just really, it was funny because I wasn't even into food. I wasn't even into, I mean, I liked baking. I liked eating cupcakes, but it was fun to see, just like to be able to zone in on something. You know, when you decorate a cake, like you're really focused. You're not thinking about pretty much anything else except like getting it right. And I looked around and I was like, this is actually quite interesting. It's like all nice. It was not anything, you know, no one was being like, your cake looks terrible, or tell me about your cake, or there wasn't anything, you know, that made me feel like I had to, you know, worry about the next job. And I'll keep going because I think Jay just popped out. But, you know, I at that point, I thought this would be actually really cool to be part of something that was more than just about me. And so I went online. I was looking for some educational stuff to kind of keep me going and take some more classes. And I realized that there wasn't really anything that connected home cooks in real time. Like everything was a forum where like you would post something and then you'd wait, or you'd see a forum posted like 3 years ago and you're like, is anyone even here? Like, hello world, hello. Oh, so you are still there, Jay.
Oh yeah, no, I'm here. I'm behind
the screen.
No, you went full screen. I'm behind the scenes. This is back to
Well, I feel like I'm talking to myself. I like talking with you. And then what happened was I decided at that point, I was like, huh, it's kind of interesting. There's nothing that connects people in real time. Why don't I make that? And I had already started sort of getting the entrepreneurial spirit with television. Like I started pitching shows, and I started getting to the point where I was starting to think of things. And it just seemed like a natural progression. I saw something in the market, and I realized that there wasn't anything in there to fill that. And no one had told me I couldn't do it. No one had said, you know, there was no bar at that point to say, like, if you create a social network, you have to get X amount of people in order for it to be successful. Like, that didn't exist. I have this little gnat. That didn't exist before. So I just was like, how much money do I have in the bank? Can I find someone to build it? And I did. And we started testing it and started creating it, and it crashed like every day. And so that's kind of the genesis of like being in television, thinking my life was going to go in one direction, and seeing something that really, truly made me go, well, this is fun, this is exciting, and then completely changing. Like, I had no idea. If someone would have told me when I started my television career that I would be doing online content and with recipes, I would not have believed them. But it's been super exciting and very fun. So hopefully that answered your question of that evolution.
No, it's great. And it's interesting because so often when I'm talking with people, especially anybody that's an entrepreneur and they want to launch something, a lot of people have great ideas, and then they spend so much time preparing, trying to get everything perfect, and nothing ever happens. And it was funny because one of the things that I thought was kind of cute that you shared was that when you're the founder of something like this, people assume that you are like the absolute best cook, baker ever. And then you shared with me like that's not the case. So, so what's the story with that?
You know, I love to bake. And we have like 80,000 recipes on the site. So it's not just about baking. It's right. Pretty much any kind of recipe. And in fact, every time there's like a new diet or there's a new food introduced, people always email me and say, can we add that category to the database? And we're like, yes, absolutely. Lots of really fun food is going through definitely an evolution.
Right.
But everyone does assume that like my husband has the best chef at every night. And I'm like, no, that's not what it is. I built a technology that helps people that they can share their recipes. I built a cookbook technology to help people sell their recipes. So I look at it more like I've created a party and I'm making it pleasant, and I'm making sure everything is there for people to enjoy at the party. But I'm not responsible for all the conversations that happen. I'm not responsible for, you know, did everyone have a good time? I can just do my best to like create the broad strokes, and then make sure that it, you know, kind of sustains itself of, you know, if there's something weird, like if spam or something happens on the site, I pull that off. Like I try to be conscientious to making sure that the experience is good. But it's really the star of the show is the community. It is not my curated experience of what I think is beautiful in food. Do I sometimes look at pictures and I go, oh, the lighting is not so great. It's like, but what am I going to do? It's the community is really what makes the heart and the soul of, you know, you could have a beautiful website. And if no one's on there, if no one's sharing, it really doesn't even matter. You could have a terrible website and people are so passionate about it. That's what we were in the beginning too. And people will just flock to it. So, you know, you actually touched upon something. You said how people will work on something and work on something and work on something. And I think that something should, when you're building something, you really have to give yourself a deadline. Because if you, humans work in a way where if I have an unlimited amount of days to do something, I will literally take an unlimited amount of days to do it.
Sure.
If I have to do something in an hour, I'll get it done in an hour. The reason why we launched when we did, I could have still tinkered and tried things and been nervous and had friends come in and test it. But I had read in the New York Times that chow.com was launching on Tuesday. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be terrible. Like you know, they were owned by a big company and they had all the money in the world. And I just spent months, you know, a couple months, it was, I think it was like 2 months working on the, which is funny to think on in 2 months, you could launch something that was kind of at this scale. And I thought, oh my God, what can we do? And I looked at my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? We're going to launch on Monday. We're not going to be better, but we can definitely be first. Mm-hmm. And that, that gave us the motivation to be like, okay, well, we can be something in the space. It doesn't, we will probably never be the number one because you just need an unlimited amount of money. There's all these reasons why there are factors of why a website is successful. But I was like, no one can take that away from us. We'll just be first. And then when we put out our press release, Chow did such a good job with like, you know, they had a my husband does PR, so yeah. I have a PR person, but they did such a good job explaining to media that there is that there's a trend that's happening. Like people are going online to share recipes and they're going online to like really have discussions around food. So I didn't have to tell people like, there's an important thing called food social media. It's like, all I said was we're launching. And it's like, every time they mentioned Chow in an article, they mentioned Bake Space. And we just kind of rode their wave. I mean, people should not be afraid if a competitor's launching. That means there's something in the space happening and you're a part of that. I see a lot of people who are like, oh no, you know, this is my idea and now someone else is launching. And I'm like, yes, but if they have funding, whoever can't afford them is going to buy you because it's the same product, same user. So don't be afraid of that stuff. So it's kind of, I think you kind of almost have to be, you have to just put what you think is right to the side and say, you know what, this is a party. We're going to jump in and we're going to be a part of it as opposed to being like, it's all or nothing because there really are enough users for everybody. You just have to make sure that you, stick with what you love, and which sounds corny.
No, it's not corny. I'll tell you, the thing that I got in our discussion before today was, I think a lot of times people are trying to create a website and they're trying to create revenue and they're trying to create a name. And what I got from you from the beginning and in the conversations has been, behind the scenes, you're passionate about and you're committed to the community. They are the business. You put them on the pedestal. Everything you explained to me about what you're doing and how the business is set up, what you're doing, you are passionate about creating community. And you know as well as I do that in actuality, the businesses today that actually are doing well online, because in an instant, you can go the other way. If you don't actually have that in your DNA and how you're addressing everyone in the community, it's not going to work. And that's, I do want you to talk about that a little bit, because I was surprised to the extent at which you're committed. And I don't mean surprised other than like, I don't know,
like,
how you do it.
What did I say?
Like how do you do what you do in terms of the, I mean, literally you're not just like you turn it on and you leave, like you are looking and involved in that conversation. It was also funny because when you said somebody was asking you about, you know, something, can I substitute this, that, the other thing, you might not exactly know, but you still will try to find a solution for them as well. So kind of talk about your commitment to the whole customer service. It's not even customer service. It's really creating the community that you create.
It's, you know, it's funny because if you have community, you always have customers. And if you have community, you always have content. And if you, it's like they go hand in hand. You can create the content yourself. You can pay for advertisement and get traffic. It will get very expensive. Community helps you helps you not have to be so dependent on an advertiser. Mm-hmm. So by what I mean by that is, or even investment. And we always get like an email that says, are you looking for investment? Are you looking for investment? And I always reply 100%. I'm always like, currently we are funded by our customers. We are not looking for an investment. When we do, thank you so much for being on your radar. We appreciate that. But we're not at that point right now. And it's because it always brings me back to 2008 when the entire economy imploded on itself. And we decided we were going to go out and look for funding. And it's like, I had done a redesign. I did a friends and family round. I did this beautiful redesign and my head was in a hole. And I didn't even notice that the economy had just died. And it's like August of 2008, which was like the height of it. I opened my eyes and was like, okay, now we're ready. We need the investment now. Now we did it. You know, we only raised enough for the redesign. And now I didn't want to be too greedy. And now we're ready. And then I looked around and every single person was like, good luck. And so that's when I realized, I'm like, okay, now we are really dependent on like, how do we monetize our content? How are we going to survive? And then I said to myself, I will never be in a position where if I don't get an advertiser or, you know, I don't get an investment, then I have to close the doors. That's not how we'll do it. So we will always be scrappy, even if we're like the most successful site. And then we had a real interesting break in monetization where we were contacted by a film called Julia and Julia, and they wanted to reach home cooks. And they're like, hey, we want to put banners on your website. And I was like, oh my gosh, if I do banners on my website, I have to pay our developer. He has to come in. He has to, like, for me, it was like, how much is this going to cost me? Right. And yes, they were paying for it, but I'm like, okay, this is not scalable. Like, he has to come in, put up the banners. We have to put up these ugly things on the side. That means I have to take content out. And I'm like, where am I going to put those banners? What am I going to do? And then I looked at the site and I was like, what do we have on the site that I can do myself? What can I build that doesn't cost me? I mean, it's my time. Yes, that's right. True. But I'm the one who gets value from that. Like, if I put in the time, I'm the one who gets the value from it. So I'm like, what can I do? And I looked at our recipes and I was like, okay, our recipes are a recipe swap, which means if you become friends with a profile, you get their recipes, they get your recipes, and you don't have to look for them. Wouldn't that be interesting if a brand became a profile and then would upload branded recipes? And then once you befriended them, you're not asking the person to like you, but you're just automatically getting the recipes. And I was like, that can work. I was like in the shower. I'm like, I think that will work. So I pitched them on the idea and I said, I got something better for you. Forget the banner ads. No one clicks on that stuff anymore. Like, I don't want to do that. That's terrible. I was like, I got something better and something more useful, something people will look at year after year after year, and they will just feel like they're part of your brand. And they're like, sure, that's kind of interesting. So we did that for the film. And then that took off. So basically then I started going out to the networks and I went to ABC. We got several of their shows, including Desperate Housewives, which was like their number one show at the time. We did that for like 5 years with them. We've done shows like The Kids Are All Right, which was a recent campaign we did. We did movies like Moana. We did The 100-Foot Journey. I mean, we just did branded recipes were like the way of to basically almost like free us up so that we weren't taking stuff on the website and like making it an ad, because you will not find one single banner ad on the site. I hate when I go to a page and it's like 15 banner ads and I'm waiting for something to load. Like, how is this website successful? Because how can anyone even go through this? And that was really good because that really kept us to the core of what the business was, which was we're a place where you can come find recipes. They may be branded recipes, they may be a branded cookbook, but it really freed us up from having to feel like we had to go out and get advertisement. And it made the website look prettier and more interesting as well. So that was kind of the crux of. So that was a long way of answering that question.
No, it's great. I'll come back to that in a second because there's a comment I want to make about that. But my friend Andrea just asked, she wants to know, what did you do specifically for Desperate Housewives?
We created a profile for them. And then we created recipes that are based on the characters. So ABC would send us a message and say, the show's coming back in 2 weeks. In the first episode, Brie has muffins. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, so we'd create a muffin recipe that would be based on that. Or if the show was like the finale, we would then go out and say, here are the recipes, or here's the vibe from the episode, because we'd be able to watch the show as well. We usually, like if it's a movie, we watch it before it comes out, so we can see if there's any reference to food. We build those recipes for them, and then we put it out in like a newsletter. We put it on our homepage, and then we started making cookbooks, branded cookbooks, which cookbooks are kind of weird because some brands, their brand is not owned by them. So right. To publish a cookbook, you have to kind of, there's a lot of rules and stuff, a lot of rules and giveaways. We did a ton of giveaways. That's also one thing that we did to build the community. We worked with KitchenAid for several years when we gave away like an appliance a day, really big appliance. And mm-hmm. It's like you had to invite a friend or upload a recipe. And that helped us build fast. Like we just, we built community and we built content. Like probably like 30,000 recipes were like put in like a month. You know, you see that kind of stuff and you're like, okay, that works really well. But then you get people now because they see so many giveaways and stuff. They're just like, am I really going to do this? It used to be much easier to get people to like upload content. Now people just want their email addresses. And we never did that. We never gave email addresses from our users to a brand.
But, you know, it's interesting because when you talk about that idea and everybody would do banner ads or whatever, most people would be like, oh, this is great. You know, you've got all the branded companies who are interested. But I think once again, like I mentioned in the beginning, what I get from you is constantly, you don't even know how to help yourself do it. You're always still thinking from the place of the community. I mean, that's a community mindset. So if you think about it,
absolutely.
Whether you ever decide, I mean, I'm sure you'll do many things. It's the same way you've done many things already. We're going to still talk about some of those in this interview. But I could see you easily writing a book or something that would help people really get to the core of it. Because bottom line, any of the other things that we know in the world of advertising today, it doesn't work unless it really does connect to someone's spirit or interest or passion. And so I think that's one of the things that really attracted me about your whole story. And every time I talk to you, it's like, it's like there's another peel of the onion that comes away. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's why you're successful with it, because you don't even try to make it be just a you can make it monetized, but it's not because you're driven by that first. You're driven by, does this serve the community? And I think that's from an entrepreneur and a business perspective, it's probably one of the absolute best advices. It's not only timely, it's timeless. So you know, for that, you know,
that's nicely said. You know, you mentioned something about like customer support. Like I still on the website, we have like a little button. And there's like several people who see the content that like the questions that come in, but someone can ask me a question. Someone can ask a question to the website, and mm-hmm. it could be like, I'm on this recipe. And like, we see what page they're on. And it says, you know, can I swap out, you know, milk for, you know, I'm a vegetarian, I'm a vegan. Can I, or I don't like dark chocolate. Can I use this? And so they assume that the platform is the smarter person. And so they're looking at a recipe and they're like, can I make this? And so they'll send us a message. And usually I look at it and sometimes it's like midnight, you know, for me on the West Coast. And, you know, I'll look at that and I'll realize like that person's waiting. Like they think this is maybe automated. Like, this gnat is bothering me. I don't know what's going on here. it's like I can't open the windows because I want to make sure there's no noise. They assume, and I realize I'm like, okay, if I'm a user and I'm a person who's just, you know, this is a person who doesn't know the website. This is a person who probably Googled. Sure. I have a dog that's all crazy
that's
now.
Okay. But, dogs are all good, as I told you.
I'll show you this dog. This dog is hilarious. Little applehead chihuahua. But they in their mind, it's like, they think this is like, they're used to on demand. So they're used to putting something in and getting something. And usually they think it's like a robot or so, like an AI where it's like, I'm looking, and I can do that with the platform we have. I can like send you some recipes automatically. You may like these things.
Right.
But I realize that half of the time it's like, they're asking a question that is so customized that there is no way they would get an answer that would be of any value to them. So usually I'll look at it and I'll take it, I'll assign it to me and I'll answer it. And if I don't know the question, I'll just Google it for them, because there's nothing more frustrating than being like, I don't know what I've never made that recipe. It's not even my recipe. It's my user's. Instead I go, you know, you can do this, but be careful because it may do, you're going to have to increase the cooking time or whatever it is that I find. Or I'll try to reach the member sometimes. Like if I know it's a member who's like super, super active, I may send them a message and say, if I was doing this, like, is this cool? Like, how would you do this? Or if I know that maybe it's like a member who maybe joined and I'd see that they're not active, I may just go, okay, here's the information. Tell me the feedback and I'll leave a comment on the recipe later for others so that they can learn from it too. And that usually just the, like the human response that people get, it's like all of a sudden, like they feel like, even if it's the same recipe they may find somewhere else on the web, they just feel like they're in better hands. And you cannot, there's no amount of customer service that I could ever pay for that would ever give that than probably me. Like I just, you know, somebody, they may care about the site, but you know, I know everything about the site. I know the categories we have. There's so much information that, that I can just kind of like, if someone says that they can't log in, like I know four reasons why they can't log in immediately. Yeah. So I go through those. I don't waste their time. And that's one thing that I think is the key is, not wasting their time. Like for me to be like, can you please give me this information? You know, can you, it's like, what? Like, don't you know this stuff? So, you know, I think the key is really just, you know, thinking when you're thinking about people who you're talking to, like they're sending you a message. They need this information now.
Definitely. You know, one of the things that intrigued me was so many people think about having a cookbook and they want to have a cookbook. I have told people in my community, I've been promising, like literally for 9 years since Biggest Loser, I'm going to do a cookbook. And then I cook all the time and my wife will be like, oh my God, that was delicious. Did you write it down? I'm like, no, I didn't write it down. And she's like, it's all agitated because I don't write things down. And it's like, I will scribble over the union watch TV. The chefs are not writing things down. So I set up an account. I have to be honest and say, I have not posted anything yet to it.
No problem. But
what I thought, it is finally the first place that when I got a chance to look at it, I'm like, oh my God, I can finally do the cookbook that I've been promising everybody that I'm going to do. And the other reason why I wanted to be able to do it was because one of the things I learned on Biggest Loser was because I get to speak all over the country and different people. And I'll tell you what's really funny. People want to know about losing weight, maintaining weight or whatever. But what people ask almost always at the end of a talk, they're like, what do you eat? You know, and then they'll say, like, what do you eat now? And so if there's one thing that seems to be a universal way for people to connect, like it's a shame that what happened with Anthony Bourdain.
I'm sorry, the gnat is killing me.
Don't worry about it. But, you know, Anthony Bourdain was a great example of how he took food and was able to connect people and cultures and all. And we see that all over the place in all the food shows. And I think that's one of the things I like about what you're doing is that it's another place for people to connect, something that they can discover, have some fun with. It doesn't have to be perfect. But I have to say that I am very, as a user, I can't wait to come back again and share what the experience is going to be like because the whole idea of a cookbook, I have to tell you, I know so many people that are foodies that we all have this desire and we keep talking about that we're going to do it. But you've actually created a platform that's a reality. So in the time that we have to talk, I want to be able to make sure I have the cookbook conversation so people kind of understand that. And then I want to be able to just kind of go through a few of the other people. It's not just Bake Space. You have these other things like, and I get it now because being somebody coming from reality TV, you don't have one episode for 13 years. You're creating episode.
Interesting.
Which is really the kind of,
I never thought of that. That's probably what I'm used to, that format.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. You're constantly growing your business, but it's still all community-based. So let's take a crack at in the cookbook world of what you've done. And I think, what was it, Cookbook Cafe? That's what that is called. Okay. Tell us about that.
Basically, in 2010, we launched a conference called Tech Munch, which is a conference that travels all over the country. And we've been to Canada as well. We went to Toronto. And what we wanted to do was help food bloggers, content creators, not necessarily do what we did because it's a different platform, it's a different community, but we looked at it as like a technology, like building something that, yes, you're passionate about, but building something that you can leverage tools and you can leverage SEO and you can leverage the things that are out there that could help make your content bigger. So we started that, and then we realized that a lot of the food bloggers wanted to sell their content. So like mm-hmm. they were trying to figure out cookbook publishing. And I was at a party one time, and there was a woman who wanted to do a fundraiser cookbook. And she's like, "Ah, I'm doing a fundraiser cookbook, but we have to manage all the recipes." And it's like, this is like, every time I talk to someone who's thinking about making a community cookbook, especially, they're like, "I have to get everyone to bring the recipes together. Then I have to get an editor. And mm-hmm. then I have to like, we have to like send it to the printer, and then we have to print them out, and then we have to bring them in. And then I have all these books I got to store, and then I got to ship them out and sell them and whatever." And I was like, that is annoying.
Yeah.
And usually I do things that I like, hopefully that it helps something, but also I like that if it like goes to like helping nonprofits, there's mm-hmm. there's something about that. And so I started thinking about like our platform. I started thinking about the food bloggers who wanted to monetize their content, and how I had access to content creators who could create cookbooks. Like the first set of cookbooks could be really good. So I'm like, how do I do that on a platform that already exists? Because people usually, it's like you create a book and then it kind of like it floats by itself yeah. on Amazon, and it's like maybe you'll get into the algorithm. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but we have people who have already created recipes on the site. Can I build something that literally like connects all the recipes together somehow, so that there's like one layer above that's like the cookbook page? Right. And how do I make it so that the recipes are also discovered? So I thought, well, I could help people create a cookbook. But then once I'm the user, what makes a cookbook that I buy from somebody valuable? Like mm-hmm. it's usually a good, well, there's a few recipes that you go to all the time.
Yep.
Problem is, you got to find that cookbook. You've got to find the recipe in the cookbook, and you have to print it out or whatever you're going to do. And then I thought, there's also a better way to actually have all the cookbooks work together in one giant recipe database, just like how we have on Bakespace. Mm-hmm. Can I make it so that you can download any cookbooks you want, but then when I want to search for just chocolate chip cookie recipes, can I just pull out those recipes so that they're all individual recipes in a nice list, no matter what cookbook they were in? And yeah. I was like, that's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. That is interesting, because now it's valuable to the user, and it's also valuable to the brands we work with, because maybe I may have downloaded one of the branded cookbooks. I don't realize that the recipe in it has beef stroganoff or whatever vegan, yeah. you know, or a smoothie. And all of a sudden in my search of something I'm actually looking for, that item comes up. So I was like, also cookbooks needed to be sort of, I think, reinvented, because mm-hmm. I think they're just, it's like a one thing, you take it home, you put it on a shelf. So right. I'm like, okay, so if I'm going to make these cookbooks, we're going to make them very interesting. And so that's when we launched Cookbook Cafe on Bakespace. So Cookbook Cafe is the builder. It's, we have a marketplace and then the reader. So people are able to then search for recipes. And we own cookbookcafe.com, but then it also, on Bakespace, it says make your own cookbook at the top, and you can learn more about it and see like our video. And we also made it so that it would convert it to an app as well, which we're in the process of redesigning. Apple, every time they have like an iOS change, yeah. they're always like, your app needs to be updated. So I'm like, So we did a web, we actually changed everything so it's mobile friendly first on the web, so it would help everybody. Right. And now we're focusing on the app development as well. And we're about to change our homepage too, like in a week or so. But that's kind of the evolution of that, which was, I heard about a nonprofit having trouble, and I realized that people we worked with wanted to make money off their recipes. And then I thought, we have this platform. How do I make this work within a cookbook publisher? And we already had users. We had people who wanted to buy recipes. So it's almost like we allow the cookbook authors to tap into our community to be able to make those cookbooks successful. Because sometimes cookbooks have, we have cookbooks that have one recipe in them. And you think, how is that possible that someone would download that? But maybe it's like Cupcake Wars winner, and that's her recipe, which we have. And at Starbucks, we have one recipe in a cookbook, and people have downloaded it. Or our branded cookbooks. We also have nonprofits who have created cookbooks, or schools. Like a teacher will teach her kids. We have the science teacher who's really makes me laugh every time. Every year I see it, I'm always like, oh, she's back. But they'll create a cookbook with their students so that the parents can see what they're working on. They have pictures of the kids with their science project. It's really cute. Yeah. And so it's fun for me to see that. But that's kind of the evolution. So you can basically, to start a cookbook, it's like you upload your recipes, assign them to a cookbook, you hit publish, and like that's it. Like you don't, and if it's a group cookbook, we give you a link that it's like a form that people fill out. So if you're sending it out to a whole bunch of people, they don't have to join the site. They just fill out the form, hit submit, and it automatically goes to your cookbook. So there's no like emailing other people to get them to like, and then also you see like, hey, you know, if nobody submits a recipe, you're like, well, then that community isn't interested in doing a cookbook. Like it prevents you from having to like hunt people down and be like, submit your recipe. Which is, and then also once they upload the picture too, it's like the picture is attached to that recipe. So you're not managing all this different content, like an email and the recipe and the picture and then someone wants to update it. It's like, everything's already in there. You can just edit it if you want and update it with the text later on if you want.
Now, but are people actually also selling their cookbook, or are they?
Okay. Yes, they're actually selling it. We do a 50-50 split with authors, and okay. In our 50%, Apple takes 30% of that. So no matter what, the author makes 50%, if it's on the website or if it's in Apple and iTunes. And we do that because that basically, we look at it like it sort of pays for the publishing rights with all the technology. But they can do free cookbooks too. There's no cost in that. So it kind of balances out a bit.
So you have BakeSpace, you have Tech Munch, which you've described, and also obviously everybody goes to your website, they can see all that. You've got Cookbook Cafe. Within the world as it exists right now, are there any other parts that you want to share just as a highlight?
I think this year has been a weird year. It's funny, my husband always, when he's really obsessed with just like how you gain muscle, but like health and the difference between like, there's phases in your life where it's like you're building muscle or you're getting, I forgot what the other thing is, like you're getting lean or something. Like you can't do both. Like one is like a building mode and one is, when you're, it's not the opposite. It's more like, it's like your body can only do one thing at a time. It can either build or it can, I forgot when he comes back, I'll ask him. I'll be like, what's the build thing? But it's what he means by, or what people on his YouTube videos that he sees, is that I look at 2020 as you have to decide what this year is for you. This year can be a build moment, or it can be like, take away the fat. Like you can, you can clear away what is not working for you in a time when no one is forcing you to like look at 10 things at one time. Sure. You can just look at the forest for the trees and go, what is working for me and what is not? What direction do I want to go in? And I think that I don't think we will ever in our lifetime have a moment like this where we can step back and really look at what's happening in our personal worlds. Maybe it's time to start to think of a new business. Maybe it's time to just figure out why your business isn't working. Or maybe it's a time when it's like, I have four products and maybe only one of them is the one that's, you know, making the money. It's like, should I just focus on that? So I think that, what I'm doing is really like looking at the business in total and being like, what works for us? What doesn't work for us? Can I do some of the like cosmetic changes now when people, yes, they're looking at recipes more and people are more using the site more, but is this a time when I'm not being inundated by like a million brands who are, you know, saying we need to do this. We have a campaign that's running. It's going here. Everyone's kind of like, what is going on? That's been really strange. I got this gnat again. I put a little hairspray in my hair, and I think it's like, I usually don't have this hairspray. So, but it's okay. We're all friends. You can stay.
That's right.
I won't kill you. Right. I'll just shoo you away. It's funny. I don't kill spiders, but I'm always like, yeah, I was like, I'm like, go get that spider. Is it bad luck?
That's what I've heard. It's bad luck. I don't know. Maybe the spiders have launched that conspiracy, but I don't kill spiders either. It's like,
someone said, I read it one time. It was like this. Someone said that the one day you will be in a place that you shouldn't be, and you'll hope someone will be kind to you and just move you. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
That.
Yeah, I'm like, And so if I see a spider, I'm always like, you got to take it out. Like, take it out now. I don't want to see it. But anyways, what was I saying? Anyways, I'm in a state.
You're in that, you're kind of looking at where you're at and what you're creating.
Because we'll never have this time to do that. Like,
but
once this stuff opens up, it's going to be like people are just going to just plow right through and just be like, get me back to work.
Yeah. No, it definitely is a time for reflection and recreation. And I do think that one of the things that's good about it is that it does, for all of us, there's never been a time where we've actually had this kind of space between the notes where legitimately no one looks at you weird if you're actually not being crazy busy all the time. Like, everyone's kind of like, they're not sure. It actually is kind of comforting in a way. It's like, you know, I'm kind of figuring it out. The other thing I want to be able to ask you before I'm going to ask you my closing question is there something, like, one of the reasons why I call this crossing the finish line is because from a business perspective, typically what happens, people starting with an idea, sometimes they have a hard time starting. Sometimes they get in the middle and they stop. Sometimes they're looking to get someplace and it's almost like a mythical finish line. You know, a lot of people are like, well, someday I'm going to be successful, I'm going to be whatever. In actuality, most people that are entrepreneurs and business people, they never stop. I mean, you're a great example of that. You started with something, you created it. You know, as I kind of said in Reality World Chat, is like you're creating other episodes of other things you're doing. Is there something that you can share it or not share it, but in the realm of you've done so many things, and I know you're in a state in 2020 of reflection, but is there another finish line that you're looking at that you're going towards? Is there something you can share, or is there something you can kind of tease that you're sharing that you're kind of percolating?
You know, I feel like the goalpost has moved like this year. So I'm like, I thought this year was going to be a totally different year. I'm not really sure right now. And it's okay to, it's a scary place to be, is like, you're just like, what am I doing? I think the key is that, I don't know if anyone ever really truly complete something, like even when you launch a website, like that's only like the first act. That is not that's not like the lights come on and everyone shows up. No, that's the exact opposite. It's like once the light comes on, an investor one time told me, I said, I'm going to look to raise some money, but I want to, this is in 2008 and we were like, okay, we're ready. And I was like, hey, we did the friends and family round. I did it. Like, we're here. Like, here's the new redesign. It looks beautiful. Let's make this happen now. And he goes, oh, you messed up. And I'm like, what? And he goes, you should have raised money before the redesign was done. And I said, why is that? And he says, because now we know. Now we know what it is. You got to sell us on what it could be. And it was a good lesson because I thought, oh my gosh, like now I have the proof. Like they can see what the traffic is. They can see, you know, everything. And it's like, that guy, he reminds me. It's every time I think about it, I'm always like, okay, Bob Schwartz. I'm good. You know, I took your word. He probably doesn't even remember saying that to me, but I'm like, I always remember that. So I'm like, okay, where am I in the process here? But I think that you make your own goal line of what you're comfortable with. Like somebody one time told me that I had a lifestyle business where basically I would spend the rest of my life like making recipes and like that this that this wasn't going to be a business that somebody would want to do a major investment in. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it made me check what my real needs were. Like, is this a lifestyle business? Do I want to do this for the rest of my life? And I was like, no, this isn't a lifestyle business. I'm not like doing this because I'm like, hey, I love sharing recipes. I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate right. about the community. I'm passionate about having a great time. But I don't look at it like this is it. This is the end. This is not the end. This is like what I'm doing now is creating a, it's like creating one piece of the recipe. And mm-hmm. then the conference was another piece of the recipe. Yeah. And then the cookbook publishing was another piece of the recipe. And one day they are going to all converge into something mm-hmm. else. I don't know what that is at this point, but I'm confident I'll figure it out. And I'm also, you know, I was thinking about it the other day about how, as an entrepreneur, how I think of things and how I come up with ideas. And someone was asking me, and I don't even remember when it was, but I was speaking to a class and I was trying to explain what it's like when you think of an idea. Mm-hmm. And I said, when you think of an idea, it's like, I can read an article. I can read a newsletter. I can look at a post. I can look at an update. I can look at a GIF. I can look at something and right. I can see that with something else. Like I don't have to see literally the words and right. I don't have to read the literal definition of it. I can look at something, I can look at a template of a website, and it could be a doctor website, and look at just how the shapes are put together and be like, this template will work with this other content. Like mm-hmm. you can, if you step back and you can, and I don't know if I'm explaining this right, but that's what I think is the real key to realizing that everything you do will lead to something else. Like it doesn't just, you don't build something else, you stop it, it's behind you, because you take all that with you when you get to the next thing. It's not like you forget how you built community, or you forget how you work with advertisers, or you forget the pain. You know, one time I lost 5,000 users in a database crash. And once you do that, you're like, you can handle anything. Yeah. But I think the key really is being open to those moments when you see a thing of inspiration and you go like, oh, what is that? And to be able to look at it and see something else in it that I don't know. I don't know if I described that right.
You did. And the other part that I would kind of connect all of that together to, also coming back to the idea of the fact that you being a producer, you being somebody from reality TV, you know as well as anybody that everything that works comes from the story. You know, when someone's mm-hmm. creating a recipe, it's a story and how they are putting it together, how they're presenting it, how they're sharing it. And I think everything you've described with your business overall, somehow behind everything, like when you're able to see things or present things or share things, you're telling a story and then other people are kind of seeing what's possible for them. And the great thing with a cookbook is it's so personal and it can be so expressive and delicious for somebody to actually have. And there's a real sense of, it's not easy for a lot of people to do certain things that are maybe entrepreneurs, but to create a cookbook or to create a particular recipe. And what's interesting to me about recipes is the fact, if you really think of it, there's only X amount of ingredients. You know, there's, you know, garlic, yeah. there's pasta, but I mean, you know as well as I do, depending on how somebody romances that, presents it, you know, some of the subtleties, it's just like, oh my God, that's absolutely incredible. And to that point, which segues into my last thing I'd like to request is, I don't know what it looks like, which is the whole world of being an entrepreneur, but I would love to have you come back and just think about this, ruminate this. I would love to have you come back with some of either your people that have created cookbooks or some people that have been involved in this process. I think that what I am so excited about is, one, like I said, I'm excited to be a user and share a user experience with the people that have asked me for recipes or things like that. I'm looking forward to being able to literally do kind of my own one separate show one time where it's just like, hey, look, you guys watch me with that. We talked about Bake Space. I hadn't set it up yet. Here, I've done my first cookbook. I put together these recipes, just the things I love, because I know that So the act of doing that, it will be an example of like, look, guys, just do it. You said you want a cookbook, just so you can do the cookbook. I'd love to be able to have you come back with some of the people. You know, I don't know if Kathy can do it. It was one of the people mentioned, but the Wall Street Journal article or some of the other people. But
I can get Kathy. I'll be like, come on, Kathy. she's great. Actually, Danielle, there's quite a few members who I could like not cherry pick, but I could. They're totally available there, and they're fun. They're like people who really. This Nat is crazy. You know, I was thinking that when you were talking about a cookbook, that we have a member who just joined the site, and she was having some trouble. So I was helping her and I was helping her with her pictures and stuff. And her cookbook is all of her mother's favorite recipes, and her mother had passed away, and all the pictures are like of her mother. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you sit there and you go, oh, like I have a technology that I'm helping people do blah, 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 whatever. Nothing pulls at your heart and nothing makes you feel like you're doing it, like you're on the right path by having somebody utilize something that you built and basically pay tribute to their mother or pay tribute to a father or their family member or you know, what, like a family cookbook. And you see, and you're like, they didn't have to feel intimidated by getting something printed out or collecting a whole bunch of the recipes or having to have like 100 recipes in it to make it seem like it's a worthwhile cookbook. She can make it as big or as small as she wanted, but it's such a sweet, it's so sweet to see those things that almost every time I see a cookbook published, cause we go in there and we have to like, once, you know, we submit it to Apple and we get it approved. And like, I have to look at the cookbook and make sure it's not like spam or make sure that it's not like weird or it's not like, these are all of Betty Crocker's cook recipes. Cause then I'm like, oh, can't do that. But when you see something like that, you just go, wow, like that just totally makes my day. So your community, whatever your cookbook is, if it's a menu plan or if it's just, this is like my favorite dinner. Like it doesn't even have to be so big. It really resonates with people. And so I think the more personal you make it, the better it will be just for your community to download it and for our community to see it. But it doesn't have to be so intimidating. It doesn't have to be such a, even if you've always dreamed of making a professional cookbook, like you could use this as like a way to kind of try it to see if like what works, what resonates with people.
I love that. So Babette, obviously we've been putting little pieces up here, but where are some of the places, where would you like people to come visit you? So what are some
suggestions for that? Well, obviously bakespace.com. we're pretty much on all social media. We do have a TikTok, which I haven't explored yet. And somebody owns our domain, or someone owns our name there. So I tried to get it back, and TikTok is not playing the game. But we're pretty much everywhere else. Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook. It was interesting because we're a social media company. To have to create a social media account on another platform was very difficult in the beginning. I think we started a Facebook page in like 2008. Mm. And I was just it was confusing at that time. Like, why would I do that? But you see the value because really you when you're building a community, sometimes you have to realize that yes, you want people to come to your community and you want people to create content and you want to make sure it's a safe place. But you have to realize that people have a lot of friends. Like they will, you know, they're not just going to hang out at your house. They're going to hang out at their friend's house and their neighbor's house and whatever. It's always a different experience. But you kind of have to go where they're also going just to be like, hey, remember us? Like we have this great recipe somebody put in, like, why don't you come back and check it out? So that's kind of interesting. And that it's cool that social media allows you to do that, like to basically go to all the parties at the same time, which is fun.
Which is great. Well, Babette, I want to thank you for your generosity of time, and I'm excited. For everybody to really kind of dig in and learn more about what you've got to offer. I really recommend people take a look at it. And what I love what you said is even if it's your favorite recipe, whatever that thing is, the thing maybe that your family recipe that I know we have a few that are like family favorites that are in a binder that are laminated because it was my great grandmother's recipe. And it's have to be a mess. We don't want to lose it. But I love the idea.
Is it in your grandmother's writing? Like, is it actually like their recipe card?
Yeah,
we have members who do that too, where they'll take a picture of like the handwritten card. I love that stuff. I love when I find, I know we got to go, but I love when I go to like I haven't been to a yard sale in a very long time because coronavirus, but I love when I go to a yard sale and like I discover like a cookbook that has writing on it or recipe cards. I absolutely love that. So that would work really well. Just take a picture of that and then put the recipe in the text.
That's great. That's what I love about what you're doing, is it's like nobody should have a reason not to at least do a cookbook with a recipe. I mean, you know, get over it. And as you guys can tell from today, Babette will make sure that if you're successful with that, getting it up and out there and sharing it with other people, and who knows what that could open the door for some other people. So until next time, when we come back with Babette, we don't know who, but I'll let you guys know ahead of time. Babette will bring some of her crew of cooks and recipe people and all of that together, and you guys will get another opportunity to look at, you know, what she can share with you. So please go visit bakespace.com. And Babette, thanks again. Until we meet, hopefully in a few weeks.
Awesome. We'll see you later. Hey, have a great week. Stay healthy and safe.
You too.
All right. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.